Hey, everybody, how's it going? I'm in Florida as we speak, South Florida. And guess what? It's raining. You want to know why? Because I'm here. Yeah. If you're going to travel, just find out where I'm going to be, and then it's going to be the worst weather ever. So that's how you want to plan things. I am right now, as we speak, doing shows at the Hard Rock Seminole Casino here in Hollywood, Florida, at the Comedy Club. It's called the Comedy Club at the Hard Rock. HRComedyClub.com, HRComedyClub.com. I got shows Saturday and Sunday night. Please come out if you're in the area. And next week, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C., my old stomping ground where I went to law school. At I'm going to be at the D.C. Comedy Loft November 22nd and 23rd, Friday and Saturday. D.C., come on out. My guest this week, Tamron Hall, former co-host of the Third Hour of the Today Show, host of the Tamron Hall Show, new daytime show. Really cool conversation with her. We get into her background and really enjoyed it. Hope you enjoy it, and hope to see it maybe the Seminole Casino here in Florida this weekend or the D.C. Comedy Loft next weekend. My guest this week, a great journalist, formerly national news correspondent for NBC News, dayside anchor for MSNBC, host of MSNBC Live with Tamron Hall, co-host of Today's Take, the Third Hour of Today, and now very excited. She's got a new daytime talk show, Tamron Hall Show, which is on ABC 7 in New York City at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Tamron Hall, it's great to have you on.
Great to be on. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you back doing something on a regular basis. I thought you were great. I used to watch you all the time on MSNBC, and I've been watching your show. And you know, one of the things that stands out for me is daytime talk shows are not easy to do and get off the ground. There are so many of them, and you know, you got to have a point of view. And how did you all decide what you wanted to focus on, what the theme of your show would be, and point of view would be?
You know, when I pitched the show to Disney, it's been almost 3 years ago that I went to LA and talked to them about the show. I had my iPad with me, and on it, I had episodes of Mike Douglas. And I really wanted to tap into that space of daytime talk where people would have conversations. Obviously, with his show, it was celebrity driven, but it was a conversation. You could watch John Lennon and Yoko Ono talk about something, not just their music, but who they were. That's one of my favorite episodes. And then I pulled from, of course, the great Phil Donahue, the great Oprah Winfrey, and not to copy them or not to try to be them, but to remind people that talk doesn't go out of style. It's not, you know, the new it color or a new handbag. People talk. When we sit down on the phone with our friends and family, we talk about, you know, work. Sometimes we love it. Sometimes we hate it. You know, we talk about our families and juggling it. And really, I wanted a show where people who were well-known or not well-known could peel off the masks that we all wear and just talk about their life and talk about what they've learned. So we just recently did a whole week on love and relationships. And yeah, some people might think, oh, love and relationship. But, well, it's the number one thing people ask you when you sit down. Are you married? Are you single? You know, do you want a kid? Do you not? Yeah, whatever you're going through, it's what we talk about. It may not be polite to always ask somebody, are you gay or straight? But people do.
Yeah.
And so we are pulling back the masks and saying, all right, can you find love after 50? Or we had a woman on recently who was a phenomenal guest. She said the best part of her life has been divorce. In fact, I'll quote her. She said the best sex of her life came after she divorced her husband of 30 years. And that sounds like a salacious headline, but it is not. It's her journey. It's her life. And before she left, an audience of women were like falling over themselves to get her book, because we actually do have more in common than we have different. Maybe not necessarily that journey that she had, but the idea that you can bounce back from something and that you can have the best life you want.
Well, you know, it's funny, the last part of what you said about, and by the way, that's good to hear that after 30 years, sex is still good. I was just going to make a note
that's
of that.
What she said. I mean, she was one hot tamale.
There you go. It's like, it's not all about the young ones. But, you know, I was doing a one-person show here in New York in which I like to improvise with audiences. So the theme of the show is if we talk, we connect. And if we connect, maybe we see we more have more in common than we think. And I just improvisationally.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it. We're going to bring it back. It was called Permission to Speak. And we even got nominated for an award. I was pretty excited about that. But the theme is I just improvisationally and randomly bring people on stage and they tell stories from their lives. And it's been incredible because, you know, I was a writer on The Daily Show for a long time. I work on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and all. And I've you would sit in a room, and I'm sure you've experienced this, not just in your current show, but in your career. You hear stories from real life and you go, if we were in a writer's room in Hollywood writing that, we'd be like, no one's going to believe that. But the reality is that there are these credible stories. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about was the divisiveness in the country right now, just not just politically, but culturally and socially, and how much of a responsibility are you putting on yourself to try to use this show to sort of, mend that gap, if you will?
Listen, I don't see it as a responsibility as much as it's what we all do, I think, in most cases every day. I don't buy in or subscribe to the fact that everything is so fractured. I know that, yes, naturally, we are inclined to hang out with people who are similar to us. Yeah, when I came to New York from Texas, I suddenly became a national news anchor, and most of the people in the newsroom were from the Northeast. Many had gone to the same universities, which was fine. But then you would have a few who would look at people from Texas and say, look at them, they all hang out with the same people. And I'm like, wait a minute, look at your Instagram feed, look at your Facebook feed, you hang out with the same people too. What are we talking about here? And I don't think that's a bad thing because, you know, as again, I'm almost 50 years old, most people don't move out of their neighborhoods. Most people don't go and study abroad at 18. That's not the typical journey. But that doesn't mean you are isolated or negative toward another group of people. So for me, just like with the show that you describe that you do, it is really taking what you and I have learned through our travels, through our jobs, and really proving that people are people and you have the ability to talk about anything. We just want most people the best life they can have. If you have kids, you want that kid to be halfway decent at a sport and hopefully get more than a C+, which is what I got. You know, you just want these basic things, you know, in life, nothing so extraordinary. Mm. And I think that's what our show really brings to light. As far as it relates to these times, I've just got done watching a documentary that's coming out soon that I was privileged to see snippets of. I know Harry Belafonte very well. And there was a week that Harry filled in for Johnny Carson. They call it the lost week because much of the tape no longer exists. At the time, the 60s, you know where the country was. And Johnny wasn't prepared to give up his like Nebraska nice, if you will, and delve into this. But he knew it was important to discuss. So he had Harry Belafonte host that week. And Harry had on Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy and Muhammad Ali. And Aretha, frankly, it was a lineup like you would never see in TV today. In fact, Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King were assassinated not long after the show. And what they were able to do was through humor, through life, through well-known people, have these conversations that were difficult beyond anything imaginable at the time. So for me, that's a responsibility. I don't feel any of that today. I have the luxury of sitting in a studio with people, real stories and real people, and just without beating it over someone's head, saying, look how similar we are. Look at that inspiration you got from somebody you never imagined. You know, I tell people all the time, when I started this part of my journey, I did have a couple of general managers who implied that white audiences might not relate to a black talk show host. This was in 2019.
Wow.
And I didn't get upset. I thought, I feel sorry for you because clearly you're not getting out enough. I didn't punch the wall because I know when I left my prior job, the emails and the support that I got was the same from white women as I got walking around New York in Brooklyn, you know, in a traditional black neighborhood. Everybody was like, go get them, because people root for you because they hope when they're down, you or someone would root for them. That's not a color. I just hosted an event in Philly last night, the Marian Anderson Awards, and they were talking about her journey and her historic rise and the help of Eleanor Roosevelt to sing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And she talked about her talent as this historic opera singer and said, my soul is colorless and I want you to see my soul. Mm. And I want people, yes, to see that I'm an authentic Southern black woman, but most important, I'm going to root for you. I'm going to keep it real. And we're going to talk about things that you are talking about with your friends. And that doesn't mean you have to hide who you are. Because if I let you be you and you let me be me, we're going to have a real conversation.
Yeah, and I think you're going to find that we're not as nameless and faceless to each other as we think. And I'm really glad that you're not doing I love the Mike Douglas reference. I love Dick Cavett as well. I'm a talk show geek. You know, my mom would watch them all the time or listen to them.
Yeah.
And she had bad hearing, so she'd be up late at night, and I'd be lying in bed, and I could hear the strains of it through the house. And I want to see this Harry Belafonte stuff in a huge way. So, what is the name
phenomenal.
Of that? What's the name of the documentary? So when it comes, I keep an eye.
I think the working title is "The Lost Week in Television."
Cool.
I was interviewed as a part of it. I think it's coming out next year. I promise I'll email you the information. But I saw some of the working parts of it in Mr. B, and I talked about it. And by the way, when he first brought it up to me, it was like 4 years ago, I pretended to know what he was talking about because I didn't even know. And then suddenly I realized, wait a minute, the documentary is The Lost Week. It's called that because at the time they didn't keep tape. And I think, and I don't want to misquote myself. I want to misquote the details here, but I believe they only recovered maybe 15 minutes of the whole week.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't safe. And I mean, these are one of the snippets I saw was Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King sitting there, and they are relaxed. I mean, they actually look like members of the Rat Pack. You know, they were just sitting there and they're talking.
Awesome.
And their conversation was like, because, you know, men, then they dress the slim suits and the white shirts.
Yeah.
And they're having very serious conversation, but I believe it might have been the only time on film that I saw Dr. King smile. Because when he was always on, whether the Meet the Press, Interview the Famous One, or all of the footage that we saw, it was obviously earnest. And there he was being interviewed by Harry Belafonte on the set of The Tonight Show. The backstory of how it happened, the fact that the tape, as it was happening, people did not realize how important what
right.
we were seeing really was. It's phenomenal. I think Sidney Poitier was one of the guests. It was incredible.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I want to ask you about, I've worked on different late night shows. I think daytime talk shows are actually harder to pull off than late night shows for a number of reasons. There's a lot of written comedy, written material. There's a musical guest on late night shows. And I think the daytime talk show is really about, at the center of it, the personality, who's hosting the show. Now, Meredith Vieira is a friend of mine. She had a daytime talk show for a while. It was really good, lasted a while, but it's hard. And I know you've kind of somewhat talked or even joked about kind of, you got engaged and had a child later in life and so forth. I guess you said, my friends call me the runaway bride. That was something you said. Do you think that you could have done this show that you wanted to do, that you're doing now, 10 years ago? Is this like the right time in your life to do this? Have you lived enough of a life to do it? Could you have done it when you were younger? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. But I think, the brashness of youth tells you can do anything and you think you can.
Right.
I'm sure if you'd asked me that in my 20s, I'd of course I can. But no, I needed to go through everything I've gone through. I needed to lose my spot at the Today Show. I needed to take a step. I've worked since I was 14 and worked at my first job, Toys R Us. And I needed to have that year off to figure out what I felt was my contribution, what I felt would make me feel that, all those student loans that I took out to get this journalism degree, that it all made sense. So for me, I needed to go through that. And none of us, I was talking to a group of young journalists recently, and I said, look, every job I didn't get, I walked away crying, but now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Every relationship that failed, I think, oh my gosh, I dodged a bullet with that one, but at the time you stay up at night, dear diary, why doesn't he want me? Why? And so the good thing about living, you eventually, if you're lucky, and I think if you do the work and self-reflection, the things you didn't get make sense, And so I think that when I look at my career, as I do my life, all of it makes sense. It doesn't all still go down easy. Don't think for a second, even in putting this show together, to your point, I recognize how hard it is. And Meredith Vieira is she sent me flowers the first day and has written me and keep your head up. And I remember the very first time I saw her on the Today Show. I just started, and we had this chance encounter in the hallway. And she said, out of nowhere, don't let them change you. Stick to what I just saw on TV. Stick to what I just saw on TV. And that was, I don't know, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, it's just about the journey. It's about trying to learn from it and learn most important from others. I mean, I got this, I say this kid is terrible. I'm like, this kid of mine, he's only 6 months, this baby I have. You know, I can read 3,000 books on parenting. The best advice I've gotten is just when I'm sitting down talking to other moms and other women. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? He's turning purple when I give him this milk. You're like, oh, he's having a reaction to it. Oh, great. Because that wasn't in the book. You know?
Exactly.
So I learn more from just talking to people.
Yeah. I mean, I realized I shouldn't be, I mean, we have a kid, he's older now, but like, you know, my kid was, I talk about this in my act, you know, he was 8 months old and my wife was exhausted. She goes, you deal with it. And I'm like trying to, you know, they have these crying jags and he just couldn't stop. And I'm like, he's like, I'm on hour three and I start talking to him like he's an adult. I literally was like, what's wrong, Alice? What's wrong? Tell daddy, like he's going to snap out of it and go, you want to know what's wrong? Let's go through the list there, handsome. You know what I mean? Like,
I just picture George Burns is your baby. Like, with a cigar. I'll tell you what's wrong with me, mister.
Come on over here, idiot. I was very warm in the womb. You abruptly yanked me out of there. You wrapped me in a plastic bag. I poop myself 8 times a day. You tell me what's wrong, you know?
Right. And, I don't know you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. It's so true.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's great that you're not doing the salacious on the show. We don't need any more of that. And I'm not, I try not to be judgmental, but I think there's a lot in the simplicity of what you're doing, which is really drilling down and diving deep with people about themselves and who they are and things that we all think about and care about. And I think there's a compassion that comes through on the show, which I think is nice and is needed. And I hope, you know, you keep doing that. And by the way, you worked at Toys R Us when you were 14. That's pretty young. That's amazing.
Yes. Well, my dad was in the military for nearly 30 years. And he was, as you can imagine, a typical Army guy. And I'm like, I challenged him, Dad, I want my own money. I want to work. You can't work. I go, if I get the job, will you, you know, sign off and stay on my paperwork when I'm old enough? My dad went to the Army when he was 14. He was bussing tables and said he couldn't do it anymore. And he, his brother, Tiger, and they somehow got him in the Army and he was a kid. So I said, Dad, you worked and you went off and snuck off when you were 14. And all right. So we get in the Monte Carlo that we have.
Oh, yeah.
We drive to nearby Toys R Us, right? We drive by the nearby Toys R Us, fill out the application, and I got the job. So my dad had to honor it and say that I was 16, I guess. He had this, whatever age it was, that I could work. And I started working at Toys R Us in the plush section, selling stuffed animals, and I worked my way up to cashier.
There you go. Nice.
Big deal.
Last question before we jump. I know you interviewed President Obama when he was a senator before he announced. And did you have a sense then of how special he was? And did you feel, I don't know if you were aware that he was going to run or if that was a secret at the time, but if you did, did you feel like he had a chance? He's a very impressive person, obviously. I was just curious as a journalist.
What? I think, I did not have the confirmation that he was running, but I had an idea. Ironically, I had met Michelle Obama prior to, and her specialness jumped out instantly. Huh. Yeah. And I walked into an event and I was like, holy moly, who's this woman? With President Obama, I think for me, it was more the possibility of what the country was about to see, which would be the majority voting for the first Black president. Again, going back to what you and I talked about, we have more in common than we have different. And so that's what I saw first, that, wow, this could be the moment that for the country. And he is the facilitator, I guess, if you will, or the, I don't know what the word would be. That's probably the wrong word, but he's the conduit, you know, of where we are emotionally. And so I think that's what I saw in him when we did that interview with him, that this person, talk about responsibility, could reflect who we are as a people at that time.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, you were part of history there. You know, you didn't even know it in a way. That's pretty incredible. Well, I got to say, you're probably the craziest person I've ever met. You've decided to get married, have a kid, and have a talk show all at the same time. You are out of your mind, Tamron Hall. But it's
lady, you're bat crazy.
Yeah. You know what? I heard Toys R Us is opening in Times Square. Well, you should go get a part time job there too, selling plush toys while you're at
you
it.
You know what? Me, you there.
Well, I'm glad. Glad you're back on television again regularly. It's the Tamron Hall Show, ABC7 in New York City at 10 a.m. Eastern. But check your local guides and all that around the country. Wish you the best of luck on the show. Congratulations. Thanks, sir. And get some sleep with that baby of yours.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to tell him you said hi and in my George Burns voice.
So yes, please.
We'll
if you need any help parenting, call me. I'm really good at it.
Okay.
Not really. All right. Take care. Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Tamron Hall. Again, hrcomedyclub.com this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, shows at the Hard Rock Casino there in Hollywood, Florida, November 22nd, 23rd, DC Comedy Loft. Come to DC and let's fix the whole political stuff and have a few laughs, or maybe just have a few laughs and forget about the political stuff. All right, see you on the road, people.